Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. I know I don't need to remind you of this, but Christmas is coming. I'm so excited to introduce you to my new friend, Lisa Culber. Lisa and her sister, Allison, created the Giving Manger. And the Giving Manger was started because these two sisters had kids whose lists were a mile long, and they were growing longer each and every year. They wanted their kids to be focused on giving and the real reason for the season, which led them to create versions of the Giving Manger for their own family. There is a book, a wooden manger, straw, and of course, baby Jesus that all go in to teach our kids how to serve and love others every season. On top of that, the Giving Manger as a company does a lot more. They're focused on giving and serving year-round, not just at Christmas time, and they're all about spreading kindness with these really, really cute and intentional kindness cards. I'm just really excited for you to meet Lisa today. Lisa and I became fast friends today on this conversation, and I just loved hearing her heart for kindness and spreading joy and creating a better way for us to celebrate with our family during the holiday season. So, friends, I'm really excited for you to meet my new friend, Lisa Culber, as we talk about her and her sister's creation, the Giving Manger. So, friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey, y'all. I'm so excited to be sitting down with Lisa Culber from the Giving Manger. We're going to be talking all about it, but really, honestly, like, we're just two friends hanging out. We just found out that we live, like, within an hour of each other, so we'll be having coffee in person next time. But this is just so much fun. I'm so excited to hear about the Giving Manger, how it started, and learning how we can love others every single day of the year and not just around Christmas time, because I think we put a lot of focus on, like, giving back and, like, really serving people during the holidays, but we want to be people who give back and serve others every single day. So, Lisa, hello. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm, you and I, like, have just, I think we've squealed literally five times, which is just the best. Like, that just makes for a good friendship right away. So, I'm so good. Just so excited to have this conversation with you. First, tell me, what's in your cup? What are you drinking during our time together?
I am an all-day coffee drinker. I love coffee. It is my favorite thing in the planet. And then I switch at some point to iced tea. So.
Oh, okay. Very, so very Texan of you.
Yeah.
Okay, Lisa, I would love to hear about the Giving Manger, how it started, what it is, and then, let's start there. Let's just start with, like, the Giving Manger, how it started, and what you guys do.
So the Giving Manger is a Christmas tradition that you do with your family during kind of the whole Christmas season. And the focus of it is to teach your kids about thinking of others instead of trying to just think about themselves and what they're going to get. So it is a little wooden manger. It comes in a box set, and there's a little wooden manger, and you set it out in the center of your home. A lot of our customers like to do, like, a centerpiece for it. So it stands out. So you've got this manger you're staring at, and then there's little pieces of straw in a bundle next to it. And every time you do something kind for somebody, you put one little piece of straw in your manger. And what you do as a family is you're all adding these little tiny pieces of straw. And as small as they are, they end up creating a really soft bed for your baby Jesus that you bring out on Christmas Day and celebrate Jesus's birth and talk about all the things that he did in his life. And then we love to talk about what we did and how we were able to kind of walk in his footsteps through everything we did for others. So we started it, oh my goodness, I feel like it's 5, maybe 6 years ago. And it really is a tradition that's something that we had kind of, like, heard about in our childhood. And our kids were young, and they were writing giant Christmas lists. And the trouble with that was all they were focused on was what they were going to get, which is why we loved the Disney Channel, because the Disney Channel at the time did not have commercials for anything but their own programs.
Yes.
But the kids would see commercials and they just, I mean, longer and longer and longer lists. And in that like moment of parenting desperation of what are we doing here? What are we creating? Yeah. That was really where it began. So my sister's actually the one that made the first little manger and tried it with her kids. And she was like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. Like, you have to do this. So she made me a manger and she made some friends a manger. And people just freaked out because the kids actually took initiative without being asked and did kind things for other people. Because that's really what we're trying to do, is get them to think about what they can do. So, and that's kind of how it all began. We realized unintentionally that we had a business, a good idea and a business on our hands. And so from there, that's when we decided we needed to have a story to get the kids excited and put everything together in a box set. Because as you know, ideas are great, but sometimes they're hard to execute. You know, mm-hmm. I love scrolling on social media, Pinterest, but sometimes, you know, you just need everything together so that you can actually do it. So that's really where it started.
If you have to piecemeal stuff together, I can guarantee you I'm not doing it. Like, that's just how lazy I am, to be totally honest with you.
No, and the only reason my sister had her husband make a little manger, and it was like this little, like, rickety little thing, was because she searched online for one and couldn't find anything. And then I was searching for her. We couldn't find anything online. The only thing we could find was like a full, huge, like real life manger. So,
or a nativity set that has Jesus already in it.
Yeah. So we couldn't find what we were looking for online. There was no place you could buy like a cute little manger that you could just set out on your table. And all the baby Jesuses we could find were very, you know, not... they just weren't in our taste or in our, what we, you know what I mean? We wanted something really simple and left it more to the imagination of the kids and something they could connect with more. And it wasn't like a doll or a toy or a cartoon character.
Oh, I love that so much. So every day your kids come and say, like, I did this kind thing, or like you talk about it as you put in the straw into the manger, I'm guessing, right? So it's kind of like this, like, How does that work at night? Or is it just up to every family? For me, I'm seeing it as like we would like kind of gather. We watch TV a lot as a family. Like that's our together time. And so it would be like we would go from, you know, dinner to the living room. And it's like, hey, did y'all do anything kind today? And then that would be the opportunity for us to put our kind straw in the manger. Is that kind of how you envision it? Or how does it work for your family? I guess is kind of what I'm asking too.
Well, when our kids were little, it was definitely more directed, you know, where they would either do something and you were, wow, that was so great. You put your own toys away. And then, oh, we should put a piece of straw in the manger. And then they kind of were like, ooh, cool. And then, like you said, you could do it during like family dinner or any other time. And it's just, it created an opportunity for conversation for us to talk to our kids about things that you're sitting down, you have this visual thing to talk about and look at. And so that's, especially now that my son is older, I just have one little boy, he's 14. And now for us, it is more of a family dinner thing that we do. My son, I mean, as you know, Christmas traditions, a lot of them go by the wayside as your kids age. Yeah. But my son every year, Mom, when are we going to pull out the manger? Because it's just this focus for us we usually do it for like a month and a half. And we're always trying to think of little and big things that we can do together. And you just have all these opportunities for conversation with your kids that I just think you might miss if you weren't actively, you know, it's like, it is about being proactive and intentional. So depending on your family's age, we actually have elderly couples who buy them and they sit and do it together just because they notice all the kind things, or young couples that just got married because they want to start a tradition together. It's stuff we didn't even imagine.
I love that. I think that's so cool. And I think it's just drawing the focus from that like wanter list, like that want, like, all the things we want. And I hate commercials so much. Like Nickelodeon toy commercials. I'm like, this is awful. Why do we do this? Because also those toys aren't just at Target. You can't find them.
It's just good point.
My favorite thing.
Good point. And then you pay three times as much on Amazon when they're sold out and people are, you know, individual sellers are making a lot of money. But
I know. I'm like, what are we doing here? Consumer issues. So I love that this is pulling that focus back, but it's also a really intentional pullback from that like holiday madness. Like not only the wanters or the focus, but it's also just like, it almost takes it back to this like simplistic side of, it's just like the little things that we do. And I think that there's something so sweet and pure about it, because so often during the holidays, it's like, let's do a food drive. Let's do this. But when we take it to like the really small, simple things, it's almost stuff that can't be traced back to us.
Absolutely. And the thing I always try to remember is, because when little things are done for me by strangers, people I don't even know,
yeah,
you have no idea what is going on in that person's life. You have no idea what they're going through. And there is not one person in the planet that is not struggling pre-COVID, that doesn't have something keeping them up at night. Whether it's, you know, their child being struggling with friends at school, maybe they have financial issues or ill parents, illness themselves. I mean, you don't know what people are going through. And it gives, I love just trying to always be thinking outside of myself, even when I'm running my errands, even when I'm busy, because you have all these moments to do something kind. And that might be the one nice thing someone does for all day, their only human connection.
Yeah. What are ways that you do that? Because I know that sometimes one thing I've been really intentional about lately is like not having my phone out while I'm in a checkout store, like checkout line. Because that's pulling my attention. It's pulling my attention focused to me or like my uncomfortable, like I'm bored. And so I've been trying to not pull my phone out so that I can be looking up, so I can just be kind of aware. What about you? Is there a way that you practice awareness?
One of my favorite really dorky things that I do is that when I'm at the grocery store, instead of going in and getting a cart, I always ask someone if I can take their cart in for them, and then they don't even have to go and put it away. And so I don't stand there and wait. I wait until I see someone, and then I just walk up, and I can sit on my phone, whatever. And I walk up and I say, hey, let me take that in for you. And people are just like, oh, like, and they're so taken aback by such a tiny thing. I love smiling at strangers the most. I love giving random compliments to people, because you can find something nice to say to anybody. And it can be anything. Yeah. You like their jewelry, you like their shoes, anything at all. It's just a human connection where people feel seen and feel a little bit of love. I mean, I truly feel like the small things in the end really are the things that mean more in our family than all the big things that we do. Those are the ones we remember.
Yeah. I remember having somebody compliment my lip color once, like, ooh, that shade looks really good on you. And me being like, this is the only lip color I will wear for the rest of my life.
That is so great. I love that so much.
Like, it was like, this is it. Like, this looks good on me. Somebody noticed it. This is it for me. I will never buy another lip shade. It's just because I felt seen. I felt pretty. Someone noticed. Someone said something. It's just so nice. It's such a nice thing to feel that way. And I mean, you know, here we're all about making people feel seen and heard and not alone. And when we feel seen, we're not alone anymore. Like, it's such a fun thing. And as the giver in that, like, it's just a fun thing to be like, oh my gosh, cute socks. And just to keep walking, like, not even like, there doesn't have to be this massive like conversation that follows. It's just a compliment tossed out because you know how good it feels to receive a compliment that's tossed out.
I mean, there's nobody who doesn't love a compliment. You're lying if you say you don't. You may not know. You may not be good at receiving that, but you still love it.
For sure. For sure. I'm not great at receiving, especially my husband's like, you're so pretty. And I always make this weird face whenever he says that. And he's like, you have 100% trained your brain to make that stupid face every time I tell you you're pretty. I'm like, sorry. He's like, you're so pretty. And I go.
I had a friend who helped me with that, because my mom had struggles with taking compliments. She's this incredible mother. She's the most amazing person. She moved to Austin. She lives here. She's fantastic. And I mean, she just, the things she does for me are things that I would never even think to ask her to do. The other day, my son had a football game in San Angelo, which is a 3.5-hour drive. And I wasn't going to miss it. I hate missing things. I only have one, and everything's the first and everything's the last. And I'm like, I'm driving 3.5 hours. Well, my husband was a little, he's like, can you just find someone to drive with? So my dad, my sweet, sweet dad, he's like, I'll drive with you. So my mom, I get up to their house to make it a little easier. And my mom's like, give me your keys. And I was like, okay. I have been meaning to go and take my car into the dealership because one of my tires broke. And my mom just goes and takes my car to the dealership and gets my oil change. I apparently needed a state inspection and I didn't ask her to do it. But I mean, this is like a game changer for me. Going to the dealership is one of the most painful experiences for me. It sounds silly, but my mom just went and just did it. It's like she just took it off my plate. But going back to my mom, why I started that is she has trouble receiving compliments. And it's my cousin, who's one of my best friends. She's the one that taught me this trick is you just change the way that you respond and you just always say, thank you. Nothing else, no explanation. You just say, thank you. And the compliment received, it's like done, wrapped up. You don't need to explain anything else or say anything else.
Isn't that funny? I always say, oh, thank you. And then I feel like I need to tell people where I bought it. Like I'm in a magazine. Oh, thank you. It's from Old Navy. And they're like, okay, I just, what, like, Mike, sorry, I explained.
I love it. Like, we're all learning.
I know. Like, of course your shorts are from Walmart, Jeanette. It's fine. Nobody cares. But you might actually need to know I got them at Walmart because they're actually cute shorts. You know what I mean? So, okay, Lisa, the Giving Manger, though, extends from Christmas. You guys have a way for us to love people every day of the year and not just focus on Christmas time. What does that look like? How can we be building community and loving others year round?
Well, I think just going back to the Giving Manger, when you spend an entire month where your mindset is not always thinking about yourself and thinking about others, it is a lovely way to start the year. We have created little kindness cards and little other things that you can purchase, or we have downloadable lists that are free on our website. We always put ideas up on our socials of just easy things that you can do with kids of all different ages, whether they're 2 or they're 14, just to continue, you know, giving back throughout the whole year. And that's really, I think, our greatest shift as we kind of, you know, move forward. We've been so fortunate to partner with Worthy Kids Publishing, and they're a division of Hachette, and they actually are the ones that now help us with all of the distribution and everything. So that's really been such a gift for us because now it frees up our time to do more and kind of broaden things to bring more joy into people's lives throughout the year. Because people are just looking, they want it to be simple, but they want it to be meaningful. And if we can give, I mean, that is that the community that we have created, that is like the greatest gift that we've received back is when people reach out to us and send us videos or send us messages. I mean, it brings us to tears more often than I can tell you the things that people do just because of this little product that we created. So yeah, we do want the giving to go on the rest of the year, because if you can stay in that mindset, it reduces anxiety in kids. It reduces anxiety in your family, because instead of just thinking about everything you need to get done, you can see the world as a bigger place and feel the connection with everybody, because we are all connected and our actions affect everyone around us. And when you're aware of that, I just think it just gives you more wisdom. It gives your kids more wisdom and more empathy. And ultimately, your goal is to raise your kids to be empathetic people and kind people. And I just think it's so important, especially right now. It's so easy to be kind. It is the easiest thing in the world. It's so much work to be mean.
It's so much work, and it's just like I was saying, it's heavy. It's just like to carry a heavy load of meanness. I was gonna say unkindness, but of meanness. It's not fun, but we have seen how kindness can be so fun. And I think early on in the pandemic to now, we can see how kindness has given life. And I mean, I think that's just like Jesus, right? Like, there's hope in kindness, and there's hope and joy. I would love to hear about your community or how this has affected your direct community. I know that, like, as we start businesses, we're like, hey, friends, I'm going to try this out on you. You are my test subjects. But how have you seen your own personal community flourish from this, but also the giving major community? How have you seen, like the spokes of kindness kind of like continue and carry on? How are people building community using kindness like this?
Well, initially when we did create the Giving Manger, we decided, you know, because we didn't have a publisher. We didn't, you know, we come from a family of entrepreneurs. So this has been, you know, shown to us a million different ways, but we decided to do a Kickstarter campaign because we didn't know how even to launch this. So we decided in January, and we launched our Kickstarter campaign in, I believe it was July. And we did just reach out to friends and family and just said, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to sell this many. We need to get this many units produced. This is like what we have to do to get our bare minimum going, just to even get it going. And our family and friends and neighbors and church families just came out in droves, and we were fully funded. It was in like one day. The whole project was fully funded. It was amazing. People, and it just made us, because it was not the perfect time in our life to start a business. It really was not. My sister Allison had five tiny kids. I mean, she literally had five kids. And I had just recently been diagnosed with MS. And so it was a really a time in our life that felt really vulnerable. That didn't wasn't necessarily a time that we needed more rejection, because we had like, you know, letting us know how hard it was every day. But I am telling you, when there are certain things that come in your path, you do not have a choice. You have to move forward in them. And we hemmed and hawed before we did the Kickstarter campaign. It was so hard to put ourselves out there. It was so challenging, but when we saw the response, and then pretty soon, all the people that were pre-ordering it, we didn't know any of them. They were just telling people, and people were finding out about it. And so, that's really, it was our community that allowed us to do this in their love. And we sold out that first year. It was crazy. The next year, we ordered as many as we could afford. We sold out again. And it was just, and we were tiny. I'm not talking, you know, it was small, but, I think we really realized that people are looking for things like this. And a lot of like the sweet things that come through are that people tell us. I had one lady write something that, I mean, still to this day floors me. And she said, I wish I could quote her. I should have written it down. But she just said, you will never understand how many lives you've touched until you're in heaven yourself. And sorry, I'm a crier, but
hello, you know who I am, so we're fine. You're safe here.
It is really overwhelming, and it's hard. It's not you know, like running a business and being a mom and doing all of it. It's not without its challenges. It is a balance. It is when it is, you know, it's a seasonal business, and it is a lot. It has been a lot of pressure. And our families have stood behind us. Our husbands have stood behind us. Our kids have rallied around us. And, but it is so lovely to see people. They tell us all the time that their Christmas has changed, or you'll have grandmothers that give it to like their daughter, who's a single mom who's struggling, and their grandson will all of a sudden just be like helping their mom. And it's really overwhelming. So it's a labor of love for us, for sure. It's a labor of love. I feel really lucky that my sister came to me and shared with me and allowed me to do this with her. And it's crazy. I don't know how else to put it.
I think that's amazing. And I think that the fact that you guys started when you were at your most vulnerable is really, really indicative of how God works, right? Because if we were able to start stuff, I mean, even like our adoption story, like if we would have adopted Zoe from Alaska, like we would have had Jesse's work supporting us as far as like they had adoption help. we would have had a whole community that we were a part of from the very get-go. But instead, we weren't even called to adoption until we were removed from our community, removed from that job that had that help, and 100% vulnerable, almost alone, but not quite alone. And I kind of see that in you guys. Like, you're vulnerable, but not alone. But God's like, I've got something. And the success can only be equated to Him because it was such a low season.
We both, I really feel like, needed this in our life. I mean, when you are in your deepest struggles, the both easiest and hardest thing to do is to reach out your hand for help. It really is, but it sounds strange to say the easiest, but that's all you have to do is reach out your hand. That's it. I mean, it's, and in those moments when you're struggling, you do get so caught up in, I mean, I was so worried if I'd be able to, what my life looked like from here on out, if I'd be able to continue working, if I'd be able to, you know, if I was going to, you know, start this with my sister and then she wouldn't be able to do it, or Allison was going to get too overwhelmed. And so, but I don't know, we find balance in each other. We're so different and so similar all at once. And it's changed our relationship in such lovely ways because, I mean, we've always been close, but I mean, we really need each other and we have to agree on things and we have to work together and compromise and find direction together and for our families and our spouses and in loving them and respecting them and what works for them. So it's brought, I mean, me closer to her husband and, you know, just everything in that we do this together. And we have three other siblings and they're just so supportive and so loving and so kind. And I don't know, we really have a lovely family. We're very fortunate. We love our family very much.
It's so sweet and it's so good because there is that like air of like, don't go into business with people you like because it could ruin everything, or don't go to business with friends because all of those things. So I love that you guys are defying those odds and that you do find balance in one another. I think that's beautiful.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
Hey, I want to break in real quick to tell you about one of my very favorite things. I love reading, I love listening to audiobooks, and I love listening to podcasts, believe it or not. And so Audible is one of those platforms that I just really love. I've actually been an Audible member for like 15 years, I think. I think I started listening to books when Zeke was a baby. So I have always loved listening to audiobooks, and I just really, really love Audible. I love that Audible has grown with the times, where they have podcasts and journals, like the Wall Street Journal is on there, and guided meditations. There's so much on this app, and I would love to offer you a free month. But first, let me tell you more about the platform. You can download titles and listen offline anytime, anywhere. The app is free and can be installed on any of your smartphones or tablets, even for your kiddos. You can listen across different devices without losing your spot. I actually really enjoy the fact that I can read a book on my Kindle and listen to the book on Audible, and then they whisper sync and my Kindle will know where my Audible left off. It's pretty crazy and super awesome. Right now, I'm listening to a book called Where the Grass is Green and the Girls Are Pretty by Lauren Weisberger. And Jesse's actually listening to Married Sex by Gary Thomas and Deb Filetta, which is an episode coming up on the podcast soon. I can't wait for you to listen to it. So we are a big fan of Audible in the Tapley household. I hope that you are a big fan of Audible as well. And if you're not, man, I would love to offer it to you for free, like I said before. 1 month for free. Just go to www.audibletrial.com/timeforcoffee. There you'll be able to sign up, get a month for free, and then check out everything that you can, because in that 1 month, you are going to get hooked on Audible just like me. And if you need a book recommendation, hit me up in DMs on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley, and I would love to recommend some of my favorite books to you. All right, back to today's show. I just think it's really interesting too. While you're saying like it's a seasonal business, while you do it all year, it is a seasonal like kind of thing. How does that affect your guys' season, like your Christmas season? By the time it probably rolls around where everything's pushed out, like you're probably able to like sit in it, but how does it affect your Christmas? Like, how do you feel?
I would say, I mean, the months rolling up to December are the busiest months of our year.
Yeah.
And most people want it in their home you know, before December 1st, because they want to be right. doing stuff all December long. So our busiest time is actually now through the end of mm-hmm. November. And then we do just kind of sit back and, I mean, you just, at a certain point, you just have to let go and you're like, it is what it is. It will be what it will be. Mm-hmm. You put in all the work, you do all the planning. I mean, you do everything that you can. We have amazing people that work with us, that have worked with us for years, that are just, it's, are you, I mean, you would think they started it themselves because they're so yeah. about it. And you do, you just have to let go at a certain point because it will be what it will be, and enjoy your season with your family. It also creates opportunities for us to, you know, do more things. Just like you were talking about, like, that would be a really fun, you know, it makes us be more creative because we're like, let's do yeah. something really big this year. Who do we want to support this year? Because we love to, yeah. I know a lot of companies tend to partner with like one person but we love like all the time to be fluid in that and see where needs are and see how we can. It's so incredible when we bring our community together and we reach out and just, I mean, for instance, remember when there was the hurricane in Houston a couple of years ago? One of the biggest things that people needed was diapers. So we did a diaper drive and we just matched dollar for dollar. If you wanted to donate a dollar, if we did a little account on Amazon, if you wanted to send 10 cases, and we had everything sent down to the, I can't remember the name of the group, but they were just literally handing out diapers yeah. for people because people couldn't get diapers. They couldn't get trucks in. And I yeah. cannot explain to you the outpouring of people who were just willing to just send diapers to these moms. It was, yeah. it's amazing. So when you have, I mean, when you talk about community, it is such a lovely and powerful thing when people come together for good. That is like yeah. our greatest yeah. joy. I mean, people are so generous in all the ways that work for them. And like I said, some people are, you know, want to donate $5. Some people want to get out there and make a delivery themselves or go collect in their neighborhood. It's amazing.
I think when you give people the opportunity, and it's almost like we don't see it ourselves, but when, like, just even now with the hurricanes that just hit Louisiana, when it's like, oh, here's how I can give, like, when you kind of like funnel it in and say, this is where we're going to give, this is like, this is a trusted source. So when you have an opportunity, it's like, okay, I can do that. Otherwise, it just seems like it's so big. And I know that so often I'm like, I don't know how to help. I don't know what to do. I'm just me, you know, it's just my little family. What do I do? And I love that. It's like, here's what we're doing. Here's how we're serving others. Here's how we're loving people, like in a small yet really mighty way. I just think that's really cool that you always do that. And you empower people to do that all through the month of December and every day after that.
I know that's one of our biggest, I was just in California with my sister and we were all sitting down together as a group, just planning. We plan for the year really because yeah. we want to make sure that we can execute on everything. And that was actually one of our largest goals, was just to set out for every month that we had something that we can give an opportunity for people to do. And yeah. so there's just something every month you can go and just fill a need. And we love when people share that with us. That's one thing we adore yeah. too, is people share their needs. They share a friend's needs or a family in trouble yeah. or you just don't know what people are necessarily going through. And see, sometimes, I mean, last year we did one of the cutest things too. There was this gentleman who just lost his wife and it was right before Christmas. And we rallied our community to send little letters to him. Just happy little letters because it was his first Christmas without her. Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't even know how many letters he received. His neighbor that told us about it, she's the one that reached out to us. She took a ton of pictures. And I'm talking every time we went to his mailbox, they were just flying out of there.
Oh my gosh. I mean, with
pictures drawn by kids and just sweet notes and just love notes to him, of, you know, because he was just in one of the hardest times in his life. It's yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's when you talk community. Oh my gosh, it is so lovely.
I love that. That's so beautiful. It just makes me happy because I think that's the most important thing, is like building community, loving others, and helping others feel seen. And I think that's just a really beautiful mission that you guys have. Lisa, what is it time for in your own life right now? We believe there's a season for everything under the sun, and it's time for coffee right now. And you and I will be having coffee in Austin soon. But what is it time for in your own life right now?
I would say my season right now is really just being as present as I can for everyone in my life. I'm out of the little kid phase. My husband and I are seeing that, you know, our son's only going to be in our home probably for another 4 years, and that hits you hard. I mean, it's something that, you know, and Allison's in the same situation. She's got a 16-year-old daughter. She's got a 14-year-old daughter, and I'm just making sure that I'm being as present as I can for everyone in my life, even if it's just a kind text message to a friend. But one thing I have with having older friends that have kids that are already in college, here's the thing that I have realized that is so important, and it's community. Once again, do you know what those kids from college come back for? Yes, they want to see their family, but when they come back for the weekend, every single one of them asks, are we going to have a party? Are we going to have friends over? This isn't their grandmas and grandpas. This is their neighbors. These are the kids they grew up with who are going to different colleges. And we all gather together, and I get to see these kids that I've known since they were tiny, and creating that community for your kids of people who just love them. I mean, it's so much fun. So being present and being there for their kids when they come back, being there for my family, that's the season I'm in right now.
I love that. I think we have a 15-year-old son. I had to think about how old he is. We have a 15-year-old too. And it is that realization hit the summer of, we have four more summers. Like we have four more summers, and really that fourth summer is prepping for school. So here we go. It's happening so fast. But I will say, I was just, I got to be a guest on a podcast, and she was asking me kind of about my family. And I said, man, this bigger kid season, I enjoy motherhood so much more now because I don't have to wipe their bottoms. And it's a really big blessing. It's a really big blessing that you don't have to do that anymore. And they are funny and fun, and they have personality. And there's times where it has to be like snapped out of them real quick because I have one sarcastic kiddo and I'm like, that's really funny, but that was rude. And he's like, oh, sorry. I was trying to be funny. I'm like, I know. Watch it, kid. But it's this really sweet season of allowing other people to speak into your kids, because like coaches, like those people really matter. And having them have like that wise counsel, we've told them from the get-go, like there's a few things that like, hey, Dad and I don't really struggle with this. If you do find yourself struggling with this, like here's a group of men that we know and love and are trusted. Like if you call them, they've got you. And so it's just a really sweet thing. But yeah, it is a weird season of like wanting, because there is like that freedom of like, shoot, they can watch TV and we'll go out on a date. But there's also this moment of like, oh, our schedules are getting more full, and like we really only have like two nights at home together, so let's just stay at home. And so being present is for sure. So I love
that. We have a Sundays at home rule. We always like, you know, other than church, we just spend Sundays at home, and it has been the best thing we've ever done. We don't make social plans. If someone wants to come to our house, they're welcome to come to Sunday dinner. They're welcome to come over and watch a football game with us. But my boys just love to be home.
Yeah. I love that. That's really sweet.
The parents will come over. It's just a lovely thing that we've done in these past couple of years.
Mm-hmm. That's really, really good. I love that. Our son has had a job this year, and that's been like, I just really miss you. I just want to hang out with you. And he's like, can my girlfriend come over now? I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
So many new things.
Oh, yes. So, okay, Lisa, where can we buy the Giving Manger? What's the best way to buy and like really dive into giving and sharing love with others this year?
If you want to go to our website, thegivingmanger.com, we have links to all of our retailers that you can purchase it through. It's available on Amazon, Books a Million are two that have it online right now, and you can purchase it in stores all over the U.S. We have tons of little stores that have carried it from the beginning. Support your small local stores. Yeah. And yeah, if you pop into our website, we can just direct you to where you can buy it locally or where you can purchase it online. We genuinely love our customers. They are our community, and we are so grateful for each and every one of them.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that we're so grateful that you guys have created this, that you have given, like I said, it's again, that's the opportunity, big, small, everything to say like, this is how we can give, this is how we can love, this is how we can build others up. So I'm really, really thankful for you guys and your creativity and your drive and persistence to not quit even when it was like, should we even do this? So it's always a good sign.
I really appreciate it. Chatting with you. I mean, like I said, I love your podcast. I just feel lighter and lifted every time I listen to something. It's just lovely. I love how much you talk about friendship and bringing people together, because that is what it's really all about, is love. So I really, really loved getting to know you. And I'm so excited to meet in person when you are downtown. Mozart's Coffee Roaster. Shout out to Mozart's. You can go.
Oh, that is.
That's where we're going, sister.
Yeah, we'll meet there. Lisa, this was a blast. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, I really think that we should all go out and grab our own giving manger. I know that as a mom of teens and Zoe, who's a sweet little tween, I know what this would look like in our family, and I'm excited to try it. I'm excited to love on others, to serve and be intentional this holiday season. So the Tapleys are definitely getting one. I hope that you'll get one too. I'll have the Giving Manger Instagram and website linked in the description of this podcast, as well as on itstimeforcoffeepod.com in the show notes for the podcast. So be sure to go out and grab it. I hope that you guys are having a great day. I hope that you have a great week. I can't wait to talk to you next week when it's time for coffee. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.